When I say dinner, what is it that you see? A hamburger and fries? A salad? A cup of tea? Our bread and butter is no longer on a rigid schedule, and with the myriad options always available, it's no longer even bread and butter. Everyone and everything is on the go, and the way our society approaches our meals is unstructured and often unhealthy. Today on the show, we're taking a look at the meat and potatoes of how and what we eat. Hello, Laurier. This is the Cordcast. Tuning into this week's episode of The Cordcast. Our goal on this show is to serve as a companion to the weekly paper, The Cord, where we dissect and discuss different stories from the issue in order to have more open-ended conversations and to understand the material in new ways. I'd like to make a quick disclaimer here that the opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals speaking and do not necessarily reflect the intent of the content discussed or the opinions of any other members of The Cord staff or volunteers. On this week's show, we talked about something totally universal, food, and we took a look at the state of reality television. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the program. Hi everybody, it's September 18th, and we are recording the third volume of the Cordcast, the Cord podcast, weekly podcast. My name is Carlos Wild, and I'm the features editor of the newspaper. I'm joined now by
Sarah Tyler, and I am the video editor.
And I'm Emily Waitson, I'm the opinion editor.
Hi, Emily. Hi, Sarah. Just to begin here, the first thing that I wanted to talk about real quick, something easy, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the pumpkin spice epidemic that is sweeping the nation. How do you guys feel about pumpkin spice?
I'm a fan. I don't think I like it on things like chips or food that I don't think it mixes well with, but I don't know. Call me basic. I enjoy it.
And Sarah?
I have actually never had anything flavored pumpkin spice.
Really?
So, yeah.
You can get literally everything in pumpkin spice now. You get pumpkin spice soaps and shampoos. You get pumpkin spice dog food, so you're going to have to change that.
All right. I find it maybe a little overwhelming. That's why I haven't taken that step to try it yet.
I get it.
Maybe in the future.
That makes sense. All right. So, let's begin the podcast here. First thing I wanted to talk about, we do have a new issue of our newspaper coming out on Wednesday. Going to be a little bit of a shorter issue with some good stuff in it. Emily, what's going on in the issue this week?
Well, in the opinion section this week, one of my writers is writing about automation and why he thinks it should be embraced and not shunned. And I think that's going to be a really interesting take on it since I've never really seen anything from that direction before. So I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. And Sarah, I know you were going to be doing some videos on some staff members. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so we have a new section coming out with the Cord Corner. So that's featuring our editorial board, and the first one coming out this week will be Curtis, who is our editor-in-chief.
Awesome. So that's great. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff in the issue, too. Got a bit of a focus on food-related stuff, which we're going to talk about later in the podcast, and I know Jake Watts is trying to get an interview with something to do with the opioid crisis, so that's probably going to be pretty interesting. And yeah, let's get into the show. All right, on the next section of the podcast, it's what we normally do is take an in-depth look at something that's going on in the latest issue. Because the latest issue has a couple of pieces on food, I know that I wrote one, and Emily, who is with us here, she wrote the other one. We're gonna talk about food, and we're gonna talk about weight loss. We're gonna talk about Emily, can you tell us about your article?
My article is about basically how judgmental people can be over people's food choices, essentially. So if someone's vegan, if someone's a vegetarian or gluten-free, people usually have something to say about it, some sort of diagnosis, some sort of opinion, and I think a lot of the time it's unwarranted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's pretty incredible, right? Because I know when I have made choices in the past, like choosing to stop eating meat, I found out, it turned out, all my friends were professional dietitians
of
all
course.
This time.
Yeah, where
I
do you get
no
your
idea.
Protein from?
Yeah,
it's humans
incredible.
Are designed to eat meat.
Make
yeah.
sure you get those B12 vitamins, guys. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I'm just really impressed with all my friends for that.
Yeah.
The other article that I wrote, I took a look at weight loss, how our society looks at overweight, how it looks at fat, why people have a difficult time losing fat, should we be trying to lose fat, things like that. That's going to be in the features section of the new issue, and I was pretty happy with how it turned out. It should be worth a read, and I know Emily's opinion article is worth a read too, so let's just get the conversation going here, okay? What I wanted to ask you guys, just based on Emily's article there, is there ever a time when it's appropriate for someone else to step in on your diet?
I would say unless you're a doctor and you have genuine concerns about someone's health, I don't think so. I don't think it's any stranger's right to put their opinion on someone else. I could say the same for people who are vegan and like shout their opinions at someone who eats meat. I don't think that's the way to get your beliefs and opinion across to someone else, especially regarding what someone else eats. I don't know why that's such a problem for some people and why people feel the need to have that sort of loud voice about it, but yeah.
And Sarah, did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, for me, I think that it's important that unless someone's in danger, like, you kind of keep your opinions to yourself about that, because it can be a very sensitive topic. And like, if someone is in danger and you are fully qualified to like diagnose someone or like help someone out like professionally, then totally that's like your call. But yeah, otherwise, take a step back.
Yeah, but that's where it gets difficult, right? Is how can you tell if somebody's in danger, and where does that start? I mean, if a person is not getting the proper nutrition, that can be dangerous, can't it?
I think so, but I think the people who have the strongest opinions I've noticed about what other people eat are usually strangers. Like, I don't usually get strong opinions about my food choices from a family member or a friend. And I think there's a way to approach that. Like, if you're a friend or a family member who's genuinely concerned about someone and how they're eating, I think there's a way to approach that. And I think they do have a right to say, like, I'm concerned about you, but I don't think they have a right to judge necessarily how you choose to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A professional would actually, like, realize that there are warning signs if there was something that's, like, proper or like not right.
Mm-hmm.
So they would know in that circumstance, I think. But yeah, otherwise,
I think that what makes that difficult though is when do you say, I mean, if a person isn't noticing the own problems in what they're doing, they're not going to take themselves to a professional, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, I think you have to start to realize when something becomes like an eating disorder or something that's a genuine diagnosable problem, and when it's just a choice of their diet. So like, if someone's vegan, I don't think that's a cause for concern unless they're not getting the proper nutrients and things they need to be healthy.
Yeah, there's a significant difference, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
There'd be other things wrong, I think, like energy levels and stuff that they would have problems with. That.
Yeah, if they're generally happy and healthy, like, I don't think that warrants any other opinion.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The next thing I wanted to talk to you guys about here, just sort of branching off of that, as students, do you guys cook much?
Almost not at all, and it's bad. I think it's something that a lot of students don't do enough and we don't know how to do. We kind of like thrust into the adult world and we're like, oh, we're supposed to fend for ourselves, but we don't really know how to cook proper food. And I think it's just a running joke, oh, we just eat Kraft dinner all the time, but like, where do you start and how do you get there?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a problem.
As someone who's very involved around campus and also has multiple jobs, I find that I almost forget to eat, or I just run out of time and I don't have time to sit down and actually prepare myself a full meal. When I do have the time, I love to cook, and my parents have been very supportive about getting me cookbooks, like fast and easy healthy recipes. But yeah, it can be a juggle between classes and other involvements.
So you think as a student it's difficult to eat healthy consistently?
Oh, I definitely think it is. I think it's far easier to go to McDonald's and get something that's a few bucks and is made for you than it is to like actually prepare a meal that's healthy and will take time to, you know, make and learn how to make, essentially.
I find for myself, like, I do call like home, like, how do I preheat the oven even? Getting those little steps, or like, what does the broiler do? Like, things like that.
Yeah.
You need a lot of extra help to get yourself started, which a lot of students don't have the initiative to take.
That could be a good article in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Some easy kitchen steps.
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome. Just jumping off what you were saying though, a lot more restaurants I see are shifting towards healthier food.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, even in looking at something like McDonald's, they have their own salads and, oh, look at this wrap, it's only this many calories. And I agree. I think it's becoming more popular to see fast food places especially take on that healthy sort of industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the article that I wrote, in one of my interviews, she was talking about how people are a lot more social eaters now. Mm-hmm. People eat out a lot more than they used to. And I heard something said that, like, 50 years ago, people used to go out for entertainment and stay home to eat. And now that's totally inverted. Yeah. People stay home and watch Netflix, and they go out and buy pizzas, yeah. right? So I do think that there is a positive trend that's happening with the fast food and the quick and easy food that we can get, but it's, I guess it's something that people need to be aware of.
Yeah, it's a hard balance, and I think a lot of people don't like change. I just think that they know what they like, and they're not willing to maybe necessarily shift onto something else. But no, I agree. I think it's a good thing. I definitely think that it's going to be beneficial to have places have more healthy options for people to choose, especially students. Yeah.
Something I know that has been in the news recently is the initiative for Ontario government to remove trans fats and create like legislation on that, which is, I think, is an important
thing.
Yeah,
definitely.
For them to
do. Yeah.
Awesome. You guys eat anything cool lately?
I have a very boring diet. I stick to what I know. I'm a salad person for the most part. What about you?
This summer, because I had a lot of free time to myself, I started creating some more recipes and building upon my repertoire of what I can make. And I made this delicious breaded chicken, and it had a nice pineapple plum sauce. Ooh, ooh, it was good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Nice. Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys. Alright, so we are now in with the newly named questions of the week. The past few weeks I called it the question of the week, and I wound up asking several questions, so I've decided to change that. This week, our questions are based off an article that Erin is writing. Erin, our lead reporter, she's doing an interview with the former Wolusoo president who just won the Amazing Race Canada. Is that correct?
Yeah,
I think that sounds right. Okay, so let's just use that as a jumping point here, and let's talk about the state of reality shows today. So, question directed at you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Are there any reality TV shows these days that are worth watching?
For me, not really. I just kind of go to the old shows. I don't really watch anything new and upcoming. I was a big fan of So You Can Think You Can Dance Canada. I actually went to a live taping in Toronto for that, and it was really cool, but you learn that things are more scripted than they actually seem to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And Emily, reality shows?
I don't really watch reality shows. The only one I can think of is RuPaul's Drag Race, which is on Netflix and is why I started watching it. And the odd time I'll watch something on TLC, like Hoarders, which just makes me feel better about myself, really is why I think most people watch TLC. But yeah, I'm not a big reality show fan.
Yeah, and I don't think most people, most young people these days really are, because it's a very fill the time slots on cable TV kind of thing.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Right?
And I don't think it's accessible for a lot of people, especially who just have Netflix. It's not something that you would decide to turn on unless it's on TV and then there's nothing else on.
Are there reality shows on Netflix?
RuPaul's Drag Race, and I think I saw some version of Hoarders once, but it's probably not on there anymore. Like, I don't think it would be that popular.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more of an uprising of documentaries and, like, educational shows opposed to reality TV shows, which is kind of cool to see happen.
That is a much better thing, something that
definitely.
We can actually learn from. And don't get me wrong, there were some guilty pleasures in reality shows, but really, they've just been invented because they're easy shows to make. They can fill up tons of time slots,
of course,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
And they sensationalize the heck out of them. It's garbage. All right. But let's just say you two are working for a major television network, and you get to launch your own reality show. Okay. Can I hear what you're going to be making, Sarah?
Something involving animals for sure. Maybe Emily can expand on some idea like that.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm very easily entertained by animals, so it could be a puppy. You follow a puppy for a day. I'm very simple that way.
That would be pretty cool. You just let the puppy run out in the street by himself. You get the camera crew going. You maybe throw some dog biscuits around to sort of...
Yeah, I mean, I like animals better than people, so... I don't think it's a hard decision for the two of us to say that would be more entertaining.
I think following an animal around for a day would be pretty cool, and also a good stress reliever for students in particular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know it's kind of fun to watch like live feeds of just animals and sanctuaries and things like that. So,
well, like that giraffe that was giving birth for like I don't know how long.
Yeah.
But it took like months, but eventually it happened. Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch any of those slow TV things they have on Netflix? Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay, they've got a couple of them, and it's the weirdest thing, okay? There's one that's called, like, Slow Train to Oslo or something like that, and it's literally a camera was put on the front of a train, and then the entire train ride they recorded. It's, like, 8 hours long.
Wow.
And it's just, you get to, I mean, they have different ones, too. There's, like, one of, like, someone knitting. There's one of like, a boat going through somewhere, but...
I think it might be calming in its own weird way to have it on in the background, but I don't think I could sit and watch it. Yeah. I think it's more of like a in the background kind of thing.
I don't think you're really supposed to. Yeah. It's kind of like the fireplace.
I was just
going to
say, just have it on in the background.
It'd be something like that. You'd have the TV screen in a frame, and then it's playing, and it looks like just like a moving picture or something.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. Section of the podcast today is the last section of every podcast we've done. It's called Something Good. Something Good, where I talk about something good that has been in my life from the past week, and I get the members of my panel to do so as well. So I'll start us off. My something good for the last week is pumpkin chai tea, which is great because it's been like on repeat every day, pumpkin chai tea. And it's so delicious. It's so tasty. You sit down, you have a good book with pumpkin chai tea. I'm having the time of my life. Sarah, can you tell us about your something good?
Something good that's happened to me this week is my sorority's recruitment. It was a lot of fun. We had an adventure to an enchantment theme. And there's a lot of new girls who are really excited to work for the community.
Can you tell me about that enchantment theme?
So we had a lot of like vines and leaves and like purple flowers, so kind of bring back nature kind of vibe. It was really pretty and it was really fun.
That's awesome. And to Emily, something good.
My something good would have to be seeing It in the theater. I saw it twice, actually. The first time wasn't so good because it was very full and there was lots of people talking, and I'm very much a person that needs to focus.
And just to clarify, because this has gotten messy in every text I sent, when she says she's seeing It, she is referring to the Stephen King adaptation It with Pennywise the Dancing Clown.
Yes.
Yeah, that's gotten really confusing in my text this week. So sorry, continue.
No, the second time I saw it, it was much better. I could actually focus on it, and I really, really enjoyed it. As a Stephen King fan, I thought it did a really good job of bringing the book to a reasonable level to the screen, so I thought it was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was fun, right?
Yeah, it was very fun.
The characters were good. It was funny.
Yeah, it was actually very funny.
Yeah, had some okay scares, too. All right, awesome. So I think that's going to do it for us here at the CordCast for this week. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with me, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, whatever, send me an email at features@thecord.ca, and that's it. Have a great week. A quick thank you to everyone at Woolusip, especially all the staff and volunteers at The Cord for making this program possible. Our music was provided by Steve Dave for Life.